Good afternoon. Excuse me. Usually I start with a synopsis of our previous performance, but because we're coming off a bye week, I'll kind of just outline maybe some of the things that we're looking to get done and trying to get done during that time. It was a productive time for us. Like I said at the top of the week, you know, I didn't run into a bye week that I didn't think was timely or appropriate. It was for us. It provided an opportunity for some developing players to get some work, specifically guys like Josh Dobbs. You know, a third quarterback doesn't get a lot of work once you start playing football games. Thought he had a couple good days of work during the bye week for us. A guy like Cam Sutton, a young developing guy, a guy that's coming off of an injury, getting an opportunity to work and get live reps. I thought it was significant for a number of developing people. Those just two guys I chose to highlight. Thought it was significant for a number of guys that are they're in a process of working their way back from injury in some form or fashion. We've had a number of guys that have missed an extended period of time who got work, guys like Marcus Gilbert, Stephon Tuitt, Vance McDonald specifically. I thought it was a good opportunity for some of those guys. And lastly, just for us, from a coach's perspective, to take a step back and look at what we've done and look at some of the challenges that lie ahead and maybe forecast some things that need to be done differently or better as we proceed. And two things I'd like to highlight in that area is the turnover ratio for us. We're minus one. Usually doesn't go along with 6-2. I know one of those games really skews that number because we turned the ball over quite a bit in Jacksonville. But nonetheless, to be minus one at the turn is an area that we would like to be better at. We need to take the care of the ball better. We need to get the ball more. So that'll be something that we focus on. Usually teams on the rise over the second half of the year do a great job of taking care of the ball and an increasingly better job of getting the ball, and that needs to be us. And also just largely, cashing in on splash play opportunities. I don't think enough is written and said about that. A lot of times we talk about minutia and interesting things, statistical things, and so forth. But I just think being a group that's opportunistic and being capable of cashing in on opportunities when presented need to define us over the course of the second half of the year. We've had splash play opportunities on offense that were missed over the first half of the year that I think could have made our journey easier. And we've had splash plays on defense missed. Specifically, you know, we had an interception opportunity at the end of our last ball game that could have created a scenario where our offense didn't have to earn a first down in order for us to secure victory. So those are just two specific areas in which we'd like to focus moving forward, the turnover ratio and producing splash. I'll quickly outline some injuries. Like I mentioned earlier, it was a number of guys who've missed time to kind of get back in the fold. It was good from that perspective, but we won't assume anything. We'll continue to watch the guys that have missed time in preparation for this game and make necessary plans according to what we see. Those guys being Stephon Tuitt working his way back from his back injury, Marcus Gilbert working his way back from his hamstring injury, Vance McDonald, and a guy that I didn't mention was Mike Mitchell, who experienced an Achilles injury toward the end of the football game last time out. We essentially shut him down last week. We'll get him revved back up and see where he is in terms of game readiness as we push forward in this preparation. Now on to Indy. You know, for us coming out of the bye, this is a group that we're very familiar with, as I'm sure they're familiar with us. We've played them a lot in recent years. You could, you know, almost even compare it to the recent relationship we've had with Kansas City in that they almost feel like a division opponent. It doesn't make the preparation process easier. It just makes them familiar, as I'm sure they could say the same about us, not only in terms of schematics, but also in terms of personnel. And that makes the execution of detail and the understanding of assignments more important as you prepare. Their group that presents some very specific challenges to us. I mentioned our turnover ratio not being reflective of our record. This is, I think, 3-6 group who's done a very good job, relatively speaking, of the turnover ratio. They're plus one. And I really just think it speaks to Jacoby, their quarterback, who's coming in under less than ideal circumstances, not having any offseason or training camp with those guys. I think under those circumstances, this guy's done a remarkable job of taking care of the football. They're plus one. And again, that's very impressive. But it also just kind of speaks to him as a player. It's not just him in these circumstances. We looked at him in the draft. I was impressed with him at NC State in terms of his ability to take care of the ball. I know he did a good job of that in New England. It was one of the reasons why they were excited about his growth and development. Up there, they're also a group that creates issues in their environment. It's a fast track. It lends itself to their style of play. With guys like T.Y. and others, but also the environment itself in terms of operating and communicating has been a difficult one for us in the past, and I imagine that to be the same. I talked briefly about Jacoby, their quarterback, and how he's acclimating himself. He's doing a great job. He's got tremendous arm strength. He can make all the throws. He's doing a great job of taking care of the ball, as I also mentioned. Let's talk about some of the people that he works with. You got to start with T.Y. Hilton. You saw what he's capable of a week ago in terms of changing the climate of that football game with his big play capabilities. We've worked against him in the past. He's had some splash against us in the past. We better work to minimize his impact on the game. And every time they snap it, he has a chance to produce chunks of real estate. He was off to that type of start against us a year ago when he got hurt, I think, in the second quarter. He had a big play down the middle of the field. We can't allow those things to happen and happen on a consistent basis. He's a catalyst for them. Jack Doyle is a high-volume catch guy at the tight end position, much like some tight ends that have preceded him there in the past, Fleener and Allen. He's the latest addition of a guy who has an awesome rapport in Indy with his quarterback. Jacoby is finding him early and often and in situational ball. They work the interior portions of the field extremely well, be it man or zone. He's been an awesome security blanket for his quarterback. I think he's leading everybody in the NFL in the last month in terms of targets and catches, and that's wideouts included. So we've got a couple guys we got to contend with. T.Y. is big play capable. He averages 20 yards a catch, and Doyle is a volume catch guy. But they're also complemented by other guys who are equally as dangerous. Dante Moncrief, man, is a high pedigreed round draft pick from Ole Miss. He's big play capable also. I think he's up around 15 yards a catch. That pales in comparison to T.Y. at 20, but globally speaking, 15 yards a catch is dangerous ball. So they're a vertical passing group. They're capable of getting yards in chunks. We can't allow that to happen. It happened a little bit too much for our liking last time out. We need to continue to work to minimize those things. Their running game is in the hands of Frank Gore. What can you say about Frank Gore? Just a lot of respect for him and his body of work. He's good with the ball in his hands. He's good in the passing game as a route runner, but also as a blitz pickup guy. He's globally recognized as one of the best in the business in that area and has been for over a decade. They're complimenting him now with the talented young runner, Mac, out of University of South Florida. Looked at him in the draft quite a bit. He's another one of these young, talented runners. We've seen a lot of them. We feel like we have one in James Conner. We've seen one in Hunt. Here's a guy that probably hadn't got a lot of recognition, but is a very talented guy in providing some splash plays for them. On the defensive side of the ball, there's some questions that we have, not they have, some things that are probably pertinent to their personality. The availability of Vontae Davis is probably a critical element of that. Vontae's had some big battles with AB over the years. He's a formidable opponent. He's one of those lockdown guys, a guy that's capable of matching top flight receivers, and he's done that for them in the past. He missed the last game. I don't know about his availability, but I know his availability probably impacted matchup in a lot of ways, not only in terms of how the game unfolds, but maybe even how they call the game or approach it. The same could be said about Simon, an outside linebacker slash end for him. Highly productive guy, good above-the-neck football player, very rarely out of place. He's missed the last several games with, I think, a neck injury. His availability probably affects them in terms of the things that they're capable of doing, particularly when you get in sub-package football. They have the ability to be very multiple. They've acquired Mingo. We're familiar with Mingo. He's drafted by the Cleveland Browns. They've been somewhat limited by some of those things because Mingo's been playing for Simon in recent weeks. So we got to watch those things and develop a plan, to adjust. You know, they had a high-round draft pick in Hooker out of Ohio State that was making a lot of plays for him on the back end. I think he had three interceptions. A talented young guy, somewhat local. We're familiar with him. But he's been replaced by T.J. Green, another guy that they've drafted, I think, in the second round out of Clemson just the year before. He's played quite a bit even prior to Hooker getting there. So the play is not new to him. He's played quite a bit against us in the past. He'll be playing for him. He's big and fast. He's one of those guys that's a hybrid guy. He's played some corner for him. I think he played corner against us in the preseason. But he's also big and strong, good strong tackler in the passing, in the run game as well. So we got some things to do in preparation for those guys. But as always, we believe the true story is our preparation and ultimately our play. We're excited about being back in the land of the competing and doing so this weekend on the road in a hostile environment. Be happy to address any questions you might have.
Coach, you mentioned you took the week to look at what you've done in the past, things you need to correct. What do you like about your team so far this year that you might be surprised is happening?
You know, I hadn't spent a lot of time looking at that element of it, to be honest with you. I'm really just thinking about, ways to increase our chances of winning moving forward. And oftentimes that analysis doesn't lend itself to that mindset. Spent a lot of time thinking about things that we need to do better and combinations of people and schematics.
Mike, is Sheard a guy that you looked at a lot? Does he seem like he's settled into the right place for him?
Jabal? He's a guy that we've seen a lot over the years and have a lot of respect for. Drafted by the Cleveland Browns, played against him in New England. I think this is the third place we've competed against him. He's a formidable veteran player. He's good against the run. He provides consistent edge pressure versus the pass. Not surprised by him transitioning there and becoming a key component of their attack on the defensive side of the ball. Really consistent with his body of work, even dating back to his days as a Pitt Panther.
You mentioned Doyle quite a bit earlier. I know years past we asked you about getting better against the tight ends. You guys have been really good against tight ends this year. You faced some good ones too. Why have you been so good against opposing tight ends this year?
I wouldn't chalk it up to one specific thing. I think just largely we've been better and more consistent in rush and coverage, and specifically the combination of rush and coverage. We oftentimes talk about how those two things are married. I think we've married them in a positive with positive results on a more consistent basis this year. That probably doesn't directly answer your question regarding the tight end, but I just think largely that's been the discussion with any element of our pass defense.
Mike, you plan on playing Martavis this week?
I do. He did a nice job of dealing with the suspension and working hard to get better at his craft. And that being said, we're moving forward. But as in all cases, even the injured guys, we'll let preparation and what happens in that preparation be our guide moving forward. But I'm comfortable with the trajectory of where he is in terms of coming off the missed action.
What did he show in the last week and plus of practice?
He just came to work with a good attitude like everyone else.
You're talking about splash plays and missed opportunities. He's a part of that, right?
He is.
Like, you've been getting sacks from your defense across the board. Is that the way you envisioned this, or would you like to see some guys maybe step forward and become more dominant in that area?
I'm not opposed to guys putting up freakish numbers, really we strike for balance. We're a group that likes to attack you from all levels of defense, D-line, linebacker, secondary. I think our numbers reflect that not only this year but in recent years. Much like we want to have balance on offense, we want to be able to run it and throw it. We want to have balance in terms of the things that we do defensively. Whether it's the number of people that we bring or the number of people that we employ in coverage or the manner in which we do those things, we're looking for balance. And I just think the numbers from a sack standpoint kind of reflect that mentality.
Andrew Luck has missed several Steelers games. A lot of quarterbacks aren't leader getting hurt. How do these injuries keep happening considering the rules are designed to protect them?
I hadn't looked at it, to be honest with you. I've spent a lot of time focused on our issues and the things pertinent to us. As a general fan's perspective, I do see some of it, but from a coach's perspective, and I'd imagine that's what you're asking, I hadn't analyzed it a lot, to be honest with you.
Have you found other teams dealing with that? Because you've faced a lot of teams that have had to deal with that already. You'll face a lot more, largely aside from New England, maybe Tennessee moving forward with backups. How have you felt that other teams have dealt with the loss of their starting quarterbacks?
I think it's something that we all deal with at different points of time during the course of a season, or there's a potential for it. I think any time as you set out on these journeys that are seasons, that's an element of the equation, particularly at that position. You better have a plan in place. You better be light on your feet, and you better do what's required to win, and you better acknowledge that maybe the manner in which you do so may change. I know that's been the case with us largely over the course of my stay here, and, it may be moving forward, hopefully not, but it's an element of it that you need to be prepared for, and I'd imagine that being the professionals that the people that we compete against are, they're generally of the same mentality.
Mike, Javon Hargrave has proven to be a pretty good pass rusher, but how is there contemplation to try to keep him on the field in sub-package football, or is it just a mix that just doesn't work?
We've kept him on the field in sub-package football some. We only generally employ two defensive linemen in sub-package football, so there's less reps for the same number of people. He's been a component of that and been a good asset to our efforts, and particularly during the time that Stephon Tuitt was down. But his contributions in the pass rush is not something that's unexpected by us or unanticipated. He was highly regarded at South Carolina State as a pass rusher. I think he maybe had, 35, 36 or so career sacks. And I think that regardless of what level you play, those numbers are those numbers, particularly when you're an interior rusher like he is.
As you talk about the analysis you did the last week or so, when you looked at your offense's red zone trips, I believe it's 29 trips and only 12 touchdowns. What do you see there? Any trends show up?
No, we just got to get better, and I'd imagine that we will. We've continued to work. It's funny, a game ago we were talking about similar issues and, talking about red zone circumstances for both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. We had a good game defensively, and we moved out of the bottom five, I think, into the top 10 in one performance. So we're just going to keep working. We better find ways to win along the way.
What's so hard in there? What makes it so good?
The field is short. There's less vertical field, so there's less ground to cover. Just in a nutshell, kind of in global terms. It's always more difficult to operate because there's less space in which to work. You can't stretch people horizontally and vertically the way that you can in open grass. We've also been in some hostile environments. Think about some of the environments we played in, but that's not going to change for us this weekend. We're going into our sixth hostile environment over the course of 9 games. So I imagine a lot of those things are elements of it. We're not going to spend a lot of time analyzing the minutia, to be quite honest with you. We trust our plan. We trust the people that we're doing it with. We just need to do it a little better and more on a more consistent basis. And the challenges that these games present over the course of the upcoming weeks will provide that opportunity for us.
In some ways, you're in a different position this year than years past. You are in the driver's seat right now. Is that anything you address with your players? Is that anything you talk about?
I've always felt like I've been in the driver's seat. That's just my mentality. Even when I'm in the back seat.
Mike, when you put together a roster, how important are guys like Gay, Harris, and Hayward Bay that might alter their role a little bit for this year? I'm sure they mean something else.
We're a group that has to be singularly focused professionally. We talked about that a lot openly during the bye week, and that singular professional focus is doing what's required to win. And guys like you mentioned are poster boys for that charge. Guys that put personal ambition aside, guys that have had larger roles even within this group in the past, but are willing to accept whatever it is we ask them to do in an effort for us to be successful. So they're big components of what we do. It's much appreciated, but we don't spend a lot of time talking about it or patting ourselves on the back because of it, because quite simply, if you want to do something special, that approach is very, very necessary.
Mike, when you talk about being poor opportunistic with splash plays, do you mean making them or scoring off the big ones?
Just making them.
You do have a lot of big pass plays.
man, we've left some out there. You know, I think about Martavis running down the field, the first play in Chicago. I think about Ryan Shazier on the last defensive snap, the last game we played in Detroit. You know, just great teams seem like they have a flair for the dramatic. You know, they make those plays when given an opportunity. And, yes, we've made some, and, yes, we're in a good spot, but we want to be in a better spot. And so we got to make more of those.
Does this team have the makeup to be more dramatic?
Time will tell the tale. I'm not interested in any dramatic declarations or bold predictions. You know, see you at the stadium.
Coach, you mentioned professional focus. Over the last couple seasons, you've dropped some games to 3-6 teams like Indianapolis. Does professional focus lend itself to recognizing that and start beating these teams?
You know, I think that's an element of the equation. But, you know, I've just never been one to be disrespectful of anybody we compete against in the NFL. I know records are what they are, but I don't delve into that. I respect everybody that we play. I think anytime we step into a stadium, people are capable of beating us. You know, that's just how it goes. You know, we played Kansas City a year or a number of years ago. They might have been 1-5 or something. They maybe won 10, 11 games in a row after that. In hindsight, that wasn't a bad football team, but at the time it could be characterized as such. And so I don't worry about records or painting with a broad brush. I think, you know, even sometimes we're given more credit than maybe we deserved. You know, maybe in the past we weren't as good as maybe you thought we were. You know, that's just the reality of it. We better prepare and respect these moments and expect the best from those that we compete against. And that's the mentality that I have, and that's the mentality that I'm always trying to relate to our football team.
Mike, sort of building on that, what you just said there, I know in the weeks leading up to the bye, so you might take that week to, your phrase is globally assess some things about your team. Have you also done that from where your team sits right now competitively? I think you said in the land of the competing for the AFC. Have you kind of looked at how close that carrot is dangling potentially from home field?
No, when you're doing what you're supposed to do, less of that is required, you know, to be honest with you. You know, it's human nature. I find myself looking at global standings and relationships to people you compete against a lot more when you're down. Largely, I know that we won enough to be in consideration for the things that we desire, so it's less time spent on some of that stuff.
Like, what improvements do you want to see in Ben's game in the second half?
You know, just like our football team, you know, we got to take care of the ball better. We need a flair for the dramatic. I think that, you know, can apply to him, but it also can apply to us or any one of us. I meant what I said in those areas. I think that those are critical areas for us to take a significant step as we venture into the second half.
What difficulties does Cam Sutton face in terms of carving out a role for himself?
He's never played in a professional game.
How's Ben's health? How do you handle the first half? And is there any concessions being 35 years old that you have to make?
Not based on health. Largely, I think he's good. You know, I think he's excited and raring to go.
Mike, most people look at your team and say your running game is very solid. Le'Veon's up there in the league, but he's only averaging 3.9 per carry. Do you have numbers where you would like to see that above to increase the productivity of the running game?
No, I'm not, you know, I'm not combing through it in that way, but it can be also brought back to the splash that I was talking about. You know, you hit a splash play or two, you turn a 10-yard run into a 40-yard run. That's that splash that I think defines great teams that we've been talking openly and hearing about, and it's probably going to have an effect on the yards per carry to give you the number or to reflect the number that you're speaking of.
That having been said, are you getting the downfield blocking that you're accustomed to getting to spring him from 15
you know,
to 30?
We've been getting great effort in that area, but it could be better. It always could, and that's a component to the splash. It always is.
You keep talking about that. Is that just a matter of the dam bursting, of getting the splash, or is there any way to practice that? Is there any way?
It's being on the details. I just think that, you know, people that are on the details and ridiculously consistent in doing so are generally more opportunistic. And I'm not saying anything earth-shattering here other than we need to continue to work and respect the process, its preparation, and continue to grow, not only in terms of the techniques that we utilize, but our understanding of the game, our understanding of situations. I think oftentimes knowledge increases your opportunity for the dramatic, particularly in situational football. I think that's why you see a guy like Ryan Shazier having a growing flair for the dramatic, because he's just coming into his own as a veteran football player. He's played a lot of ball for us in recent years, and I think you're seeing the cumulative effects of that.
Anything else for Coach?
Thank you, guys.